We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11. We'll start with text number 2, which has no translation. And we'll go until text... purport, sorry. So let's read the translations until text number 5. Lord Ramachandra gave the entire east to the Hota priest, the entire south to the Brahma priest, the west to the Advaryu priest, and the north to the Udgata priest, the reciter of the Samaveda. In this way, he donated his kingdom. Number 3. Thereafter, thinking that because the Brahmanas have no material desires, they should possess the entire world, Lord Ramachandra delivered the land between the east, west, north, and south to the Acharya. After thus giving everything in charity to the Brahmanas, Lord Ramachandra retained only his personal garments and ornaments, and similarly the queen, Mother Sita, was left with only her nose ring and nothing else. Okay, so we read text number 5. Te tu brahmana devasya vatsalyam viksha samstutam pritaklinadiyas tasmai pratyar pyedam bashire. Te, the Hota, Brahmana, Brahma, and the other priests. Tu, but, Brahmana Devasya, of Lord Ramachandra, who loved the Brahmanas so much. Vatsalyam, the paternal affection. Viksha, after seeing, Samstutam, worshipped with prayers, Prita, being very pleased, Klinadiya, with melted hearts, Tasmai, unto him, Lord Ramachandra, Pratyarpya, returning. Idam, this, all the land given to them. Baba Shire spoke. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the Brahmanas who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramachandra, was greatly affectionate and favorable to the Brahmanas. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows. Purport. In the previous chapter, it was said that the Prajas, the citizens, strictly followed the system of Varnashrama Dharma. The Brahmanas acted exactly like Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas exactly like Kshatriyas, and so on. Therefore, when Lord Ramachandra gave everything in charity to the Brahmanas being qualified, wisely considered that Brahmanas are not meant to possess property to make a profit from it. The qualifications of a Brahmana are given in Bhagavad Gita, Shamo Damas Tapa Shaucham Kshantir Arjavam Evacha Gyanam Vigyanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Svabha Vajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. The Brahminical character offers no scope for possessing land and ruling citizens. These are the duties of a Kshatriya. Therefore, although the Brahmanas did not refuse Lord Ramachandra's gift, After accepting it, they returned it to the king. The Brahmanas were so pleased with Lord Ramachandra's affection toward them that their hearts melted. They saw that Lord Ramachandra, aside from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fully qualified as a Kshatriya and was exemplary in character. One of the qualifications of a Kshatriya is to be charitable. A Kshatriya or ruler levies taxes upon the citizens, not for his personal sense gratification, but to give charity in suitable cases. Dhanam Ishvara Bhava. On one hand, Kshatriyas have the propensity to rule, but on the other, they are very liberal with charity. When Maharaj Yudhishthira gave charity, he engaged Karna to take charge of distributing. Karna was very famous as Datakarna. The word Data refers to one who gives charity very liberally. The kings always kept a large quantity of food grains in stock, and whenever there was any scarcity of grains, they would distribute grains in charity. A Kshatriya's duty is to give charity, and a Brahmana's duty is to accept charity, but not more than needed to maintain body and soul together. Therefore, when the Brahmanas were given so much land by Lord Ramachandra, they returned it to him and were not greedy. Again, very, very interesting part from Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Lord Ramachandra is, as we said before, is acting in a way to give an example. And he is teaching how to be a pious king, how to be a perfect king. And here, Lord Ramachandra gave everything to the Brahmanas. Why does he do this? Because there is an understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. It's a false idea that it belongs to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. And if it belongs to Krishna, then it should be used for Krishna's pleasure, however Krishna wants. And the Brahmanas, they are supposed to know what Krishna wants. That's the whole idea of this Varnashrama system. And of course, there is separate discussions that we're talking about real Brahmanas who really know what Krishna wants. Because, sometimes, now, especially nowadays, if you go to India, many people will show you their Brahminical thread. Say, give donation. For what? What are you doing for Krishna with this Lakshmi? Oh, I don't know. So Lord Ramachandra is giving everything to the Brahmanas. It's said in one of the texts that Mother Sita is left with only her nose ring. This is not joking, you know. Sometimes we do this also. You're like, I give everything to Krishna. Okay. And there's this joke, which is somehow real. It might happen in some cases that there's a couple and they are in love. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, and. He says, my dear, you are my life. I will do anything for you. I will move mountains. I can move the stars. I can do anything you want. No. And then she's like, oh, can you come over and fix the light in the kitchen? And he's, oh, not today. I'm feeling tired. Maybe tomorrow. Or you can have it the other way around, so we don't, you can have her saying all these things, that, oh, I love you forever and ever, and I'll give you the stars and moon and everything. And then he's like, oh, can you, my dear, can you cook something for me? I would like to have some, I don't know, pasta this evening. Like, no, not today, I'm really tired, I have a headache. So that's... that's called lip service. We're surrendering. Everything is Krishna's. And when When we ask, okay, can you do something for Krishna? Nah, maybe later. So Lord Ramachandra was not this type. When he surrendered the whole kingdom to the Brahmanas, he actually did that. And we know that he was serious because Lord Ramachandra gave up the whole kingdom before. It was the day when he was supposed to be crowned as king, and his father was calling him over. Okay, we have last discussion before becoming a king. At least so he thought. And his father said, "Oh, you know, like you're not gonna be the king, and actually we're gonna banish you 14 years into the forest." And how did the Lord Ramachandra act? He was like, "Oh, really? If it would happen to us, maybe we would be like, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why is Krishna unfair?" But Lord Ramachandra said, "No, okay, yeah. If you want me to go in the forest 14 years, okay, no problem." So he just packed. He took some tree bark and he went to the forest. Finish. So actually, Lord Ramachandra, he actually gave the whole kingdom to the Brahmanas, and he was willing to, okay, I give up the kingdom, I go somewhere else. No problem. Absolutely no problem. So he's exhibiting here a very, very important quality, which is detachment. This detachment is one of the indicators of progress in spiritual life. How, if we're advancing in spiritual life, then we are not so much attached to material things. That's the sign of advancement. That we're more attached to Krishna, and then we're not so attached to material things. We don't care so much about where these bed sheets should be green because I have to have them green. We don't care. You know. Okay, today it's green, tomorrow it's blue, whatever. Very important sign of spiritual progress that we don't have so much material desires anymore. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives in 6th chapter when Arjuna is complaining that, this spiritual life is so hard. Then Krishna gives a formula. He gives two ingredients for spiritual life. One is practice, suitable practice, proper practice, and the other is detachment. Detachment is very important because it's like when we're trying to make advances in spiritual life and at the same time have material desires fulfilled, it's like going in two directions, you know, at the same time. There's ways to explain this. One is like you want to have a fire and you put everything, you put wood and at the same time you put a bit of water on the fire. And then you put more wood and this and that and you're like, oh, the fire is not picking up. I wonder why. And the other explanation is I heard this. You have two boats, and you have one foot in one boat, and the other foot in the other boat. And for some time, they're going in parallel, you know, like they're going in parallel. And at some times they split, you know, like. So then you see, first if you do a bit of gymnastics, you're like, whew. You split your legs, and then if they are 1 meter apart, then you can still be with one foot in one boat and one foot in the other.
But after, sometimes if they split further apart, it's like you have to choose which boat do you want to be in. So it's a bit similar with material life and spiritual life. At some point, you have to go in one direction. You cannot. Practice and detachment. So this detachment is really also very much misunderstood in some spiritual circles, because detachment means that nothing is mine. So then if nothing is mine, then the logical conclusion is, who cares? I mean, if it's not mine, why should I care? No. Nothing is mine, so I don't care. So we were talking with Gyana Prabhu yesterday in the car, and I was telling him that our cars are not in such a good shape now. And he said that also everywhere it's like that. Because devotees it's not their cars, it's Krishna's cars. So Krishna should take care. I'm not saying that we're not taking care, but it can be. We can go in that direction. That it's not mine. It's Krishna. So, whatever. Why should I care? No, that's the first thing that comes in your mind. You're like, I'm detached. I don't care. And then Ananta Prabhu comes and he talks about ownership as the highest state of involvement. And thinking of in this context, first you think ownership. What kind of ownership? I'm not the proprietor, I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna is the proprietor, so it's his business. It's his problem. Why then? How can I own anything? So Krishna is explaining this this paradox somehow, we can call it a paradox. He's explaining in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 30. He says, he gives a very nice formula or somehow understanding of what does it mean to be detached and also attached at the same time. And because what we are actually, we're not just looking to become detached from material world, we're looking to be attached to Krishna. So he says, therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, and then it starts the nice thing, says, without desires for profit, there is no profit for you. With no claims for proprietorship, nothing is yours. And then he says, and free from lethargy. Then he says, yes, it's not yours. You don't gain anything, but you should fight. You should seriously fight. You should, he says, free from lethargy. She's like, no, you don't, it's not, you're not the proprietor. You don't get any profit, but you should fight really seriously, really full on. So that's Krishna's formula. And we can go out and tell this to people. We are recruiting, we are Hare Krishnas. We offer you a very fair deal. You come, you come to the temple, you have some duties to perform, a lot, and you have no rights. You have no profit, you will gain absolutely nothing, you will not own anything, and you have lots of duties, and you have to be enthusiastic. So we can go today. Maybe if you go for Sankirtan, we'll go and try we'll recruit some new devotees with this with this this mantra. Sounds like a fair deal, no? But actually, even from material perspective, it is quite a fair deal. Vedic culture is very much focused on duties. Our current society is so much focused on rights. And there is one philosopher, I don't remember his name, he's quite popular, who is somehow, he's not a devotee, but he makes some points sometimes. And he's making a very nice point that a society which is based on rights cannot work. It's not working. Because if you have a right, then someone has to have a duty to give you what you have the right to. Otherwise, you will not get it. You know, like you can go and say, "I have the right to," you know, whatever. No. And then, I'll give you just an example. So here in the temple, everyone has a right to get a glass of milk. Everyone we want to have this right. They're like, at 8:15, we want our glass of milk. So we can make a syndicate, how we call it? And we make a movement. We go in front of Ananta Prabhu's office. We put our posters, like, "We want our glass of milk every evening. We have our rights." And then what will happen? Will happen that there will be no milk. Because someone has to boil that milk. So this is a society based on rights. You know, everyone has rights, no one has duties, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. But if you have a society based on duties, you know, like we have someone who has the duties to go out and distribute some books and collect some Lakshmi. And we have someone who goes out and sees where they can find the cheapest milk. And they buy some milk. And then we have someone who boils the milk. Has the duty to boil the milk, and then we go at 8:15 down, and there is milk. Yes, so actually we have our right fulfilled. Our right to take the milk is fulfilled by some people having duties. So that's the whole idea of the Vedic society is mostly built on duties. Duties, okay. People have duties, and if people have their duties and they fulfill their duties, everything is all right. Automatically, everything is there. There will be prasadam, there will be that. We don't have to go in front of Ananta Prabhu's office and just these posters like, "We want milk, we want milk." No, everything will be there, you know, like, So that's the idea. That's somehow how to understand that not so much that Krishna says you have to do your duty. That's really important. So for a functional society has to be based on duties, not on rights. So actually, this detachment means that nothing belongs to me, but it belongs to Krishna. And so this means also that Krishna, Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai, Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, this means also that Krishna is organizing everything. There is a funny episode, maybe not so funny. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had this Radha Damodara party. And there's this episode when there's these problems with he's taking brahmacharis from the temples, and there's a big problem in ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada says, "You should go to China." And
One of the things Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, but Radha Damodara will not survive without me.
He says this to Prabhupada. It's in his biography. And Prabhupada looks at him and he's like, no, Radha Damodara is working on my potency, Prabhupada, not on your potency. So that's one other thing we have to understand, that behind everything, it's actually Krishna. It's not our potency. It's not our kingdom.
Yeah. Anyway, so this ownership that Ananta Prabhu is talking about means that I have this duty, and it's my duty. You know, like in if you have a normal job, you have a duty there, and you do it. You know, it's not whose duty is this. You know, like go every day. Oh, please, the boss comes every day. Yeah, because they are paying. So the boss comes every day, you're like, do you feel like doing your duty today? No, because he's paying you, you're doing your duty. So we should be very similar. You know, okay, I have this duty, and I will do it. And nobody has to come and tell me, oh, do you want to do this duty? No, okay, this is my duty. And Krishna... in some way, I have this duty which I got from Krishna, and I have to do it. That's it. That's all. And this is really nice, because if this duty comes from Krishna, then he's also arranging energies in such a way that you can do your duty. Like yesterday, it was a bit funny. We went for Harinam, and the weather was supposed to be good. You know, like we were paying for good weather. We checked the official website for weather forecast. It was clean, completely clean. Okay, and two websites, and then we say, oh, everything fine. So we got to Grosuplia, and... first we have some drops of water, so we're like, pick, 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 pick. We're like, ah, no problem, no problem. And then it stopped, and they're like, ha, 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 yes, yes, we got it, we got it. And then it started raining, but serious rain, you know, like, this is serious. But the funny thing was that we instantly recognized there was some arrangement. Even if Krishna sent us there and he tricked us and like, okay, you come to Grosuplia. Yeah. Then there was an arrangement, you know, like there was this place where they have this shopping cart and it was covered. So we put the we were doing Harinam there. Probably you saw the recordings. We did Harinam there, and in front of the shop there was quite just a bit which was covered, you know. So we had Bhaktadoman and Uddhava Mitra in front of the shop, and we were there in a covered place singing ecstatically. So it was raining, you know, it was horribly raining, but Bhaktadoman and Uddhava Mitra were there distributing books, and people were positive, and employees from Lido, they didn't notice anything. they didn't think there was anything strange happening. So anyway, we stayed like there like 1 hour until it stopped raining. Then we went to other shops also. And then at some point, when it started raining again, they kicked us out from one shop. They were like, "You should. It's raining again. You should go. It's good to go." Anyway, it's really nice that Krishna. If you're attached to Krishna's service, then Krishna will provide some means. And we instantly understood, okay, this is the arrangement for today. And nobody asked anything, you know, like we didn't ask, like, why, what's this happening to us? You know, like, okay, this is the arrangement for today. We sing here, and the Sankirtan is here. Hare Krishna. So, yeah. Okay. So that's a bit how to work being attached and detached at the same time. So we'll get, and one more thing which we hear from the verse today is that actually the Brahmanas give everything back. So Lord Ramachandra was renouncing his position as king, and the Brahmana said, no, we want you to be king. no, you don't go to the forest, we need a good king. We want you to be king. And which is same position as Arjuna. Arjuna is like, oh, I'm going to the forest and meditate. Krishna says, no, your duty is to fight. Now, today you have this duty to fight. So actually, renouncement, detachment means attachment to do your duty, whatever this is. So if today someone sends you to China to preach, you go to China and preach. And if they don't send you to China to preach, you preach wherever you are. But with the understanding that, okay, this temple, this service, this, it's Krishna's. And I'm just a tool for Krishna for now. It's not my, like Lord Ramachandra, it's not his kingdom. Actually, it is his, but anyway. It's not his kingdom, it's Krishna's kingdom. And Brahmanas are representative of Krishna, and yeah, if today they want me to serve as king, okay. If not, no problem. Just going somewhere, do other duty. So, yeah, just that's just some ideas. So the idea is that we should work, we should do our service as if we are attached. You know, like we should work as if we are attached, like not free from lethargy, or not. No, as if I'm trying to do my best, and in at the same time be completely detached. You know, like okay, no profit, no, it's not my service. So that's something which is hard to tune. It's not mine. So ownership means, okay, I have to do it the best I can, but at the same time, results belong to Krishna. And that's it. Maybe I stop here. Thank you. If there's some comments, questions, not so tough questions, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you for class. I noticed also that people are taking very easily the services, and I don't know how to explain them that, you know, you have to have a value. You doing this for the Krishna, for I don't know, and I don't know how to explain them. You know. You don't have to do it because I see you or because others see you, or but do it, I don't know, for Krishna. How to explain them this? How to?
Well, you have to explain the whole philosophy. Yeah, that's the understanding. You have to explain everything. That it's our philosophy. It's how do you explain the whole Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in 5 minutes? You can't explain whole Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in 5 minutes. You can start. We usually start with you're not the body, but eventually you can say, okay, this is you are part and parcel of Krishna, and it's our duty to perform, to serve Krishna. The part has to work in, and it's actually quite an opportunity. One reason why we don't do our service properly is that we're not conscious of what we're doing. Because if we would be conscious, then we would do many things differently. Like if we would be conscious, oh, this is prasadam, then we will not be like. if we would be conscious that, okay, this is Krishna. Then we do many things. If we're conscious, then we chant Hare Krishna. What's Hare Krishna? What is Hare Krishna? Okay, just something that I have to get my rounds down somehow. So it starts with conscious, being conscious, and it starts with understanding the whole philosophy. That, okay, I'm a servant of Krishna, and I have this this duty given by Krishna, and like in this 330, Krishna says, like, I have to be like, this is like in a military discipline. Krishna has given me this service. You have to think, oh, Krishna has come, this little blue boy has come. And, please, can you do this for me? Please, can you chop these vegetables today for me? And then you're like, okay, yes, sure. And it's not like, that's why Vedic culture is so much based on duty. Mahabharata, like we start from Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita is a part of Mahabharata, and Mahabharata is beating this principle of Dharma again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It's like again and again. You have to do your duty. You have to do your duty. And that's why we don't. And if you don't have this culture, then you know, like. Bhagavad Gita, but there is so much more here, and that's, you have a duty for, and you have to perform your duty, and that's something which we have to do before Bhagavad Gita, and that's why we don't understand Arjuna's arguments, and that's why we don't understand Krishna's answer. Yeah. Anyway, it's some, but yeah.
So we cannot do much in this.
Yeah, you cannot do
it's
something.
It's actually their personal, I don't know, knowledge. And if they are not sincere, they don't get this knowledge from Krishna. Or because we can apply these military things, but it will be a resistance. Like
no, this
we
military.
Don't like to be trained. If it's not coming from inside, and if we don't have something sacred to say, this is Krishna's proprietor, yeah, or things like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we should take people from where they are, not from where we want them to be. And this military, Krishna says, as if in a military discipline, as if Krishna. It's not if you do it externally, as you said, it's gonna be bad. But if we should have this thing internally that this is my duty. Krishna has asked me, and internally, not someone that, because if someone just always, you know, like I don't know. But you should start with everyone from where they are, and still, you know, like they are coming, they are doing something in the temple, maybe not in a proper way, but most of the people are not doing something in the temple. So, you know, like we should gradually try to say same things until they get, you know, like. Patience also is a virtue.
To vprašanje.
Regarding with this question of Mataji. Čakaj, kaj? Kako?
Kako neko stvar naredimo za Krishna?
About why, what are the motives of our serving, of why we do things for Krishna?
In jaz sem spoznala, da
pravi, I realized,
da pokažu svojim zgledom in mogoče gledaš neko zgodbo, da bo ljudem lažje razumeti, zakaj služimo.
that it can only be done with example, with her own example. I mean, if you have why we do this, and that's her realization, if I understood what she's saying properly. Because the philosophy is so vast and so much of everything, so example might work in this regard, in regarding Mataji's concerns. And we bring previous things, conditioning from the life we lived before. So, and it's hard to turn for, you know, turn around completely, to change, transform in a moment. So it's hard to understand everything as Krishna's. We do everything for him. And can you comment this?
Yeah, I mean, of course, examples are good, are very important. But philosophy is also important. Like examples, for example, you had in the modern society when it's a war, you know, Srila Prabhupada many times comments that you have the king or the president who is hiding in some room and just pushing some buttons. Oh, 1 million soldiers here, 2 million soldiers here. Yo, okay. But in Vedic society, the king was first on the battlefield. They would not just hide around, you know, like, oh, I'm afraid, you know, what if I die? No, the kings, the, you know, like they were first, you know, they were doing a lot more than everyone else. I had I heard of some modern kshatriya. So this spirit of sacrifice, which they see, it's very inspiring for people. I heard of Napoleon, I think. They were somewhere and they were in a desert, and they brought him like one big, like how we call this, coif. This thing that they helmet. Yeah. They had a helmet full of water, and they brought it to Napoleon, and he said, "Is there enough for all the people?" And they said, "No, no way." And he just threw it out. Said no, you know. So this kind of example will inspire people, you know, that okay, I don't need special treatment, you know. I'm the leader, but I don't need special treatment. I work more than everyone else. So then they will be like, okay, yeah, I feel also inspired. So that's good. That's very important. But there should be also this philosophy part. Yeah, you know, like they go together. Like you should see the example, but also when you discuss with people, you can explain, okay, the philosophy gradually, because you know we're not. It's a gradual process. We don't expect that people will understand everything from day one. But if they are interested, you just create a relationship, and gradually you say some things. And first time they don't understand. Second time, third time, fifth time, tenth time. They don't understand. And then 100th time, maybe they get it, you know. But at least you do your duty. There's this, there's this example where there's Jada Bharata and his father. So Jada Bharata was his third life of Bharata Maharaj. And Jada Bharata was pretending that he didn't want to have any bad association anymore because he fell down before. And he was pretending to be deaf, to be stupid, you know, like. He was like, and his father was really, really trying to teach him how to put the Brahminical thread, how to chant Gayatri. He was like, just couldn't do it, you know, like, he just couldn't do it. Jada Bharata was just internally meditating on Krishna, and he didn't care. He didn't want to have any bad association. So there in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said that even though Jada Bharata couldn't understand, his father was still trying. And he was doing his duty. He was like, boom, 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 boom. And Jada Bharata was like
completely not cooperating. But his father was trying, you know, like, okay, today we will try again. So that's the mindset, you know, like, still you have to do your duty. Okay, yeah, there's people who don't understand this and this. You explain once, twice, 10 times, 100 times, you try it from this way, that way. You give an example. One day. Yeah.
One more question regarding all of this. Good that you are mentioning Napoleon. Because my question was, you were mentioning how to explain in Sankirtan how to offer people, you don't get nothing, you get duty. No? So I
was just joking. You don't tell this.
No. Sankirtan. Yes, but I wanted to extend this to make a step further. Because usually you can get people for great austerities, for example, Nazi Germany or Napoleon. He got them. Yeah. He got them for considerable periods to perform great austerities for so-called common good. So if everybody is, like, together with the leaders, involved in austerity and in common goal, then everybody is fine with that, with duties. Né? Problem is with exemptions, as you were mentioning, because of our envy, of course. Now, how would you sell Krishna in that regard? He's exempt from all the duties. He can do whatever he wants, and we are at his mercy, and we should get to the point where we accept his desires unconditionally. So how can you sell this? This is even much, much more difficult to sell. So. And Mataji's question was touching on this point. So please sell us Krishna somehow.
Krishna? I have 2 minutes to sell you Krishna. No. So this idea of duty, like, as I said, it's before Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita, what is actually Bhagavad Gita actually doing is that Bhagavad Gita is saying, you already know you have a duty. Actually, your duty is to serve me. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna knows he has a duty, but he's just confused. What is his duty? So these people who are very dutiful, we just have to. They are qualified to start reading Bhagavad Gita, and if they read it properly, then at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, they will understand. Oh, my duty is to serve Krishna. So that's. First part, you know, like Bhagavad Gita doesn't give so many information. But then you have Bhagavatam, which is selling Krishna even more. You know, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, okay, I'm behind these energies, that energies, you know, but he's not giving so much more information. In Bhagavatam, he's giving a lot more information that of devotees who surrender to Krishna, and everything is fine. And he's giving so much examples, like Lord Ramachandra, who is detached. He's like, I don't want actually anything from you. What I just want you to be happy. I don't want. I don't need your kingdom. You know, giving your kingdom to me is good for you, not for me, because you are attached to material things. And but it's not for me. Krishna, and you have so much loving exchanges in Bhagavatam. You know, and that's supposed to convince us that Krishna is nice person. The way he treats devotees, the way, like, you have Bhagavad Gita, the picture in Bhagavad Gita. You have it here? No. You have Krishna with charioteer of Arjuna. Krishna puts himself in the inferior position. Krishna doesn't care, you know, like when you surrender to Krishna, when you have relationship with Krishna, Krishna is not, you are. So that's the logic, you know, like these people who know they have the duty, Bhagavad Gita is supposed to give them the idea, okay, duty is to serve Krishna, and whole Bhagavatam is just loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, and you will see, wow, oh, good. He's having so nice, loving exchanges with his devotees. Maybe I want to be his devotee. Sounds
Sounds nice. Sounds like a nice guy. Yeah, that's just long story short. I don't know if it helps. You're convinced? Partially. We take partially also. It's good. Thank you so much. Krantarashimad Bhagavatam Kijaj.